Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I am very pleased to bring on Greg Peterson, our next guest, live from Las Vegas. I just wanted to say that. The Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson, Hoopin' with Hoops. He hosts both of those. Occasionally read him in the New York Post, Los Angeles Times. Joining us now on this radio program, Greg Peterson. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, John.
Your favorite sports book in Vegas? Where are we going if we're just going to watch a game and hang out?
Well, you've got the largest TV in the world at Circa. I've been doing a lot of shows over there recently. It is absolutely immaculate. And then on top of that, you're able to play some sports bets, and then you're able to go upstairs to what's called Stadium Swim, where you're able to just relax at a nice, awesome pool and watch all the games. Got to go there. It is fantastic.
Man, is there a certain sports book where, like, if you're just a diehard gambler, you don't want to be distracted by the college kids who are making a bunch of noise? Like, is there that place, or is it kind of just hit and miss on a certain day, certain time? You walk in and you can find a different crowd at a different sports book.
It is a little bit hit or miss, but I would say that if you're looking for more of those places where you're not looking for the tourists, you're not looking as much for people in general, you're looking for more like the local books. The Rampart, which is more in, I would call it the Summerlin part of Las Vegas, is good. The South Point is excellent as well. They very much cater to more of the local flavor, more people that they're looking to place their bets, get in, get out, get on with your life. So those are places that would be very much for you.
What is the pool scene like at when the games are on the big screen, everybody's in the pool? That's got to be some pool party.
Oh, it is absolutely awesome. You've got people that are just cheering on their bets and everything like that during March Madness. It was absolutely insane, and it's getting better and better as things in this country continue to improve more and more. So it is absolutely ridiculous, and hopefully in a month or two, it'll just be even more bonkers because it is getting better and better by the day.
Greg Peterson, our guest, the Baseball Betting Podcast is his podcast. You picked and analyzed every MLB game for today. I'm impressed with that because a lot of people will just pick the games they really like. Why do you do them all, Greg?
Because I do think that there is a lot of value with regards to every single game, because when you take a look at baseball, it really rewards the grinders because there are just so many games out there and so many options in which you're able to find value on the baseball betting board. And I think what a lot of people do is they wind up taking a look at the starting pitchers and the starting pitchers only for a lot of these games, and they don't do the deep dive on the bullpens, because if you're able to figure out who wound up pitching, say, a day or two ago, which arms are fresh and which guys wound up getting used up yesterday, there's a whole lot of value in that. And baseball is a game in which it's just wonky in general, where you've got the best teams winding up losing 60-plus games aside from really maybe your main one or two. Heck, even the Dodgers, you're probably going to lose more than 60 games with the way that they're trending right now. Meanwhile, with the absolute worst teams, they're probably still going to approach 55, 60 wins aside from if the Arizona Diamondbacks don't start winning, because I believe that they have won 5-32 in their last 37 games, which is absolutely ridiculous. But hey, if you've been betting every one of those Arizona Diamondbacks games and you've just been betting against them, there's been a lot of money there as well. So it's just all about finding those little idiosyncrasies, I guess you could say. And trend spotting is so big in baseball as well, where I don't think that you have quite as demonstrative of trends in other sports.
We're talking about baseball now that, you know, the league is cracking down on substances that pitchers are using. Suddenly, we're seeing more hits in games. Is it tough to handicap amid sort of a shifting landscape?
I think the toughest part is finding out who's being a little bit more effective, because that's something where you need to really deep dive in the analytics. You need to take a look at spin rates, things of this nature, because shock, shock, surprise, surprise, in his last two starts, Trevor Bauer's spin rate has been down, and wouldn't you know it, he got destroyed on Saturday by the Texas Rangers. I am just absolutely in complete awe that his spin rate went down ever since his crackdown. I wonder if there's anything going down there. And then you also notice that a little bit for Gerrit Cole. It hasn't been necessarily as bad, but what I think is so important is just sort of having a little bit of a feeling out process, trying to take a look at, all right, this guy's spin rate, it's relatively consistent, doesn't seem like he's using too much. Meanwhile, when you take a look at a case like Trevor Bauer, in which his spin rate is way down, you want to be taking a look at some of the teams that he's playing against and trying to find some value there, because oftentimes when Trevor Bauer takes the mound for the Dodgers, they are a massive favorite.
Greg Peterson, our guest, you can follow him on Twitter, GUnit_81. He's fantastic on sports wagering. And in fact, today he's posted all of the games as he's handicapped along with a spreadsheet and everything. Who do you really like today? And then I want to pivot into some other sports, Greg, but who do you like in MLB today?
I'm taking a look at an under in the Washington Nationals versus Pittsburgh Pirates game. Both of these teams are the bottom two offenses out there in the National League. You've got a guy in Patrick Corbin that his ERA north of 5 jumps out, and you think, oh, this guy's been absolutely terrible. But at home over his last 5 starts, right around a 3.23 ERA. He's given up 2 home runs in his last 5 starts. So he's actually trending in the right direction. And both the Pirates and the Washington Nationals are actually backed up by relatively solid bullpens. With the Nationals, they went out this offseason. They wind up acquiring guys like Brad Ahn. Kyle Finnegan has come in. He's done a pretty solid job. And then with the Pittsburgh Pirates, we all know that the Pittsburgh Pirates are not going to be going to the postseason, but they've got a couple guys in that bullpen with some pride as well. Richard Rodriguez, someone with a sub-2 ERA. Sam Howard is coming. He's been able to hold down the fort. So I take a look at that game. And then just betting against the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, it has been so good. I've been mentioning it, Arizona Diamondbacks 5-32 in their last 37 games. So all aboard the San Francisco Giants, too. So many people keep saying that there's going to be regression with them, but every single week we look up and they're still atop the NL West.
Greg Peterson, our guest. As you approach baseball wagering, how different is it for you to handicap the MLB versus maybe college football or the NFL?
It's a little bit different because it is a money line sport, which means that you're looking a little bit more long term. You're looking to be able to take some underdogs, because typically with a spread sport like college football, college basketball, the NFL, you're laying -110 juice. And what that means is that you're putting down $110 to be able to get back $100. You're doing like the, if you're using the unit standard, 1.1 to be able to win one, for lack of a better term. Meanwhile, in baseball, let's say that you're taking like the Detroit Tigers, for example, tonight. You're going to be able to get a little bit of a plus price. So if you'd wind up putting down, say, $100 on the Detroit Tigers, if they wind up hitting, you get back more than $100. So what this means is that you don't necessarily need to hit the magical 52.38% number, which is the break-even number if you're laying -110 on, say, college football, college basketball, what have you, these spread sports, to be able to break even. Instead, if you wind up taking the Detroit Tigers every night, you wind up hitting at, say, a 48% clip, which you always think below 50%, you're not making money. But with getting these plus prices, you actually are. And that's really the big thing. Profit for the season, because I think so many people, they get lost in the mindset of, oh, I wound up having a bad day today. But at the same time, what really matters when it comes to baseball betting is being profitable for the season rather than just winning that one day.
Greg Peterson from Las Vegas, the Baseball Betting Podcast is his podcast, among other things. Greg, I want to talk a little bit of college football. We talk about the Ducks and the Beavers a lot. You know that. You lived here. You worked here. The over-under season win total for Oregon is sitting at 9 right now. I like the over there. Oregon State is sitting at 4.5. I like the over. Am I just an optimist, Greg?
I do think that there's some upside here with Oregon State. I feel like every single year, Oregon State pulls off a win or two that maybe they're not supposed to. I still remember a few years ago back when we had a little bit of normalcy with regards to college football, that massive comeback that they were able to maneuver against Colorado. That was absolutely insane. With this Oregon State team, it always feels like they've got a little bit of a better defense than we wind up giving them credit for as well. And that's something that doesn't necessarily jump out to a lot of people. And then when you take a look at Oregon, I mean, the game against USC, it's always tough. With USC, they're a tremendous team out there in the Pac-12. But when you take a look at Oregon overall, I do think that this is a bunch that they've got a very good shot to be able to, in my opinion, actually go undefeated in the non-conference. Like, you wind up dropping maybe one game out there in the Pac-12. It's a difficult conference. It just winds up happening. You're able to hit that over. So I'm right there with you. I do think that there is some value on both overs with Oregon State along with Oregon.
Greg Peterson, you're the best. I appreciate you making time for us. Keep up the fight, my friend.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
There's Greg Peterson from Vegas. Can you imagine? Like, the pool party, not enough. Now you got the pool party with the giant screen and the games going on, the biggest screen in Vegas, out at the pool party. I forget where you said it was, but Judah, we got to Google that and find that place. Hang out at the pool, know, watch some sports.
It could be good. I have not been to Vegas, so I have yet to take my maiden voyage.
Oh, boy. We're going to have to get you on a plane there.
And that's the thing. I feel like I need to go with somebody that knows what they're doing.
I don't know if I know what I'm doing, but you also have, you announced on the show last week when I was out that you're going to be a responsible adult here very shortly. You got a baby coming.
I do, man. I do. And I did let it out on the show a little bit, and I get a little lump in my throat when I bring it up, but my wife and I are pregnant, and we have a due date at the end of August, and I'm really excited and anxious, nervous, and blessed all at the same time. So I know I'm tapping on your shoulder quite a bit.
Yeah, you're not going to the pool is what I'm saying. You're not you're not going to make it. This is as close as you're getting to the pool, is this radio show right here.
That's right.
This is it.
Teo Cruz.
Yep. I came to dance, 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 dance. This is it. That's your pool party.
I'll have a little kiddie blow-up pool in the backyard.
Somebody splash Judah with water right now. Here it comes. All right, when the kid's about one and a half, we'll get you to Vegas, okay?
Yeah, okay, all right.
Until then, you got to keep your blinders on, and you got to stay focused on the task at hand, all right?
One job to do.
You got one job, Judah Newby. Leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. When I moved here, what is it, almost 20 years ago, I had people telling me that the summertime, you got to take all your vacation in the summertime. There's nothing going on in sports. I can remember some of the veteran sports writers telling me that when I arrived, and people who were doing radio at the time saying, you know, hey, there's just nothing going on here. That's not true. I'm here to tell you this summer for the Trailblazers is going to be reality television as they hire a new coach, break in said coach, try to refashion the roster in a way that's palatable. That's going to be interesting. Oregon State is trying to get ready for a college football season where they've got to make hay in the early part of the season. I think the Beavers can get to 6 wins. The over-under in Vegas right now is 4.5. I think that is ripe for people who understand what Oregon State is up against and motivated by, and they understand that the addition of Sam Neuer at quarterback, I think I'm putting like that, that's worth a win to me in a season. Could be worth more. Kid went 4-2 at Colorado last year as a starter. So I feel like Oregon State could, I'm not going to say they are, they could come through their 3-game non-conference schedule at the beginning of the year undefeated. They really could. Because Purdue is in a very similar predicament to Oregon State in that they're not coming off a great season. And it's kind of a make or break year for Purdue. I don't think that the Purdue fans are expecting anything more than maybe, being bowl eligible themselves. The over-under on Purdue's win total for the season is 5. Oregon State's 4.5. Of course, Purdue's at home. But you got Purdue, you got Hawaii, you got Idaho State. If you can get through that part of the schedule for Jonathan Smith, 3-0, you are looking, I think, sitting pretty and looking at games like the Washington State game, maybe Cal, and then maybe picking up one other win somewhere along the way. And you are suddenly sitting right around 6, or at least you're flirting with 6 for the last half part of the season, which is great. That's where you want to be if you're Oregon State. Meanwhile, at Oregon, Mario Cristobal is thinking playoff. And I don't think he's crazy for thinking or talking or setting a goal about the playoff. Like, that's what he should do. But I'm being forced to buy Anthony Brown Jr. as the starting quarterback. And that's why people would say there's nothing going on this summer. Anthony Brown Jr. thinks there's something going on this summer. Oregon football thinks there's something going on this summer. They've got to get positioned for a season in which, like, I think they're going to win 10. I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. And then I looked at the schedule today. I have them losing at Utah late in the conference season. I think they're a 10 to 11 win team this season. Maybe they lose at Washington. Maybe they lose at Utah. Maybe they win them both. And all of a sudden, they're a one-loss team that's in the playoff. But all of that is incumbent upon Anthony Brown Jr. being pretty damn good. Canzano, there's nothing going on in the summer. How about the Hillsboro Hops? All they're doing is playing a whole bunch of games out at that great stadium. I'm going to get a foul ball this summer at that stadium. And oh, by the way, dirty little secret, if you go to hillsborohops.com and go to buy a ticket and you realize, oh, they're out of town today. I wish I could see a game today. Bounce over to the Vancouver Canadiens website because the Toronto Blue Jays AAA team is also playing their home games this year out in Hillsboro at the same stadium. There's like a baseball game happening every day in Hillsboro. I was trying to think back in Portland, like, has there ever been like 150 baseball games played in a summer in the Portland metropolitan area? Like, I don't think so. This might be the most baseball we've ever seen. And it's such a dirty little secret. Like, the Canadians have been displaced from Vancouver, BC, down to Portland and Hillsboro. But they're hanging out there. They're playing their games there. And I'm told there's like 500 people to go to their games. That's where I should be getting my foul ball, damn it. Nothing going on this summer, Canzano. Nothing to see here. Brings us to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the big splash.
Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, it's a little bit of a circus in Vegas anyway. People in Vegas like it that way. But Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, who, like, forever is the subject of trade rumor, went public today and he said he would quit football if he had to play for somebody else. He added a probably in there, but he said, I'd probably quit football. He said he's a Raider for life. He's going to root for one team for the rest of his life. It's the Raiders. He says he feels so strong in his heart that he doesn't need a perfect situation to make things right. He'd rather go down with the ship, he says. He turns 30. He just turned 30 in March. And he was asked about kind of the prevailing thought with all of these quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. It's like, it's really messy in some NFL cities. And in other places, it's just dramatic. And in other places like Seattle, it was just dramatic for like a few weeks. But still, in Vegas, like, Derek Carr is about the most sane thing that you could find. Old school insane. He's like Fremont Street in Vegas. Like, he's not on the strip. You know, this is a kid who signed 5 years, $125 million with the Raiders. Started his career 0-10. Remember that? And, you know, in his career, he's 47-63. Those 63 losses are the most by a quarterback in his first 7 NFL seasons in history. Nobody's lost like Derek Carr. But he's coming off highs in passing yards, 4,100. Passer rating, 101. And the Raiders went 8-8, so he's sort of instilling himself as the loyal soldier and fan favorite in Vegas, while some other quarterbacks are busy coming out and going, you know what, I'm not so happy here, or I want out, or I need a better offensive line. It's kind of refreshing to hear that. Now, there's very little loyalty in sports. And the Raiders, don't mistake it. If the Raiders knew they could upgrade at the quarterback position and could do it reasonably, affordably, they would send that guy packing in a heartbeat. It's show business, not show friends in the NFL. But it's just kind of refreshing, isn't it? To hear somebody who's well paid, to hear somebody who is blessed to be playing a game that he loves, to hear somebody that had a pretty good season, maybe his best year ever under John Gruden, and to hear that guy happy. Like, that's new. We don't get a lot of that in sports, and it's the one thing you need to know. All right, coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to a media expert. We're going to go inside the Pac-12 conference, and we're going to talk to a media expert sort of about the business and strategy of the Pac-12 media negotiations that are coming up. Like, I spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy focused on, you know, the mistakes that the Pac-12 made. I would like to see them avoid some of those mistakes. Patrick Crakes is an executive who has worked with Fox on the highest level with programming. He's got his own consulting firm. He knows the business. He knows what George Kliavkoff is up against as the Pac-12 tries to sell their media rights. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? You got Larry Scott whining that USC and Oregon and Washington weren't good enough to help me sell those media rights. Or is it they're not good enough because they don't have the money from the media deal that Scott should have got him? We'll talk to Patrick Crakes.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.